You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Ha! Remember the old saying, kids? Beans, beans, the magical fruit. Just plant your beans, then grab some loot.
Man, I've been saying that rhyme all wrong.
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 1, Episode 14, Jaws. I'm one of your hosts, Curtis Findlay.
I'm your other host, Michael Cohen.
Now, before we jump into our episode, do you want to just talk a little bit about some news we have today?
Sure, yeah. One small piece of news. Marshmello and Disney are collaborating on a DuckTales themed music video. I have no idea who Marshmello is.
We're not up with the times.
They appear to be some sort of like dance music. This Marshmello individual appears to wear a marshmallow head in the pictures that I've seen. Kind of like a Daft Punk Deadmau5 sort of thing. So I assume that it's kind of.
Oh, is that who Dewey was supposed to be in the other episode?
No. It's just like a marshmallow. Like, it's just like a white.
I saw the picture. Yeah, that's right. Because Dewey was actually supposed to be Daft Punk.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't know. I'm totally unfamiliar with this artist. But
yeah.
That's going to be premiering as of recording this Saturday. Which is what, June 24th, 23rd?
Yeah.
20-something.
23rd.
And, it's going to be interesting to see, because basically this music video is going to be featuring the characters, and I think you're going to be able to catch it on Disney Channel. It's going to be playing before The Incredibles.
I think
we're just playing on Saturday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern date time, Eastern/Pacific date time, because they kind of have both. But,
I read that they have, it's not one of their normal animation studios that's doing the animation. I can't remember, I should have looked this up before, but it's, I think it's going to be really, really smart. The animation is going to look great.
So yeah,
it's cool to see them expanding in this way.
The animation in the promo image looks very, very high quality.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this because it kind of reminds me of, you remember when the Disney Afternoon shows would premiere and they'd do like a sneak preview on during TGIF. They do when Darkwing premiered, they did the two-parter and they would also
that rap song to go along with it.
They'd have a music video to go along with it where there'd be like an artist and they'd be like performing alongside animated characters.
It kind of
reminds me of that. I'm really excited to check this out and see what it's all about.
And did you see, I posted this on our Facebook page, the Disney Channel bumpers?
Yes, I did.
Man alive, those were so good.
Those are fantastic. That Donald one gets me. I love it. So if you haven't, if you never watched Disney Channel for an extended period of time, what they do is they have the bumpers that play before and after commercials generally. And usually it's a character from a Disney Channel show, and they have like a magic wand or something, and they draw the Mickey Mouse shape. That is kind of part of the logo for Disney Channel.
Yeah, it always appears in the corner.
Yeah, and it's so great because you watch through these bumpers. Like Curtis said, you can find them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/tuneafternoon. All of the characters go through them, and they're all really cool, and they all have like their own kind of signature little bumper. And then you get to Donald, and Donald, because... of course, he's Donald. He doesn't do the Mickey Mouse shape. He tries to do his own head.
That's
kind of backfires on him. And yeah.
That's a big throwback to the Mickey Mouse Club, the original show from the 50s, when he's trying to overthrow Mickey's popularity.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just love that because that is such a... Donald is my favorite of the Fab Five, right? Of the Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, and Pluto. Donald is 100% my favorite out of that crew. So
for sure.
I always love that sort of, I love it when Donald gets really mad. That's my favorite thing about his character. And it's a perfect example of him trying to one up Mickey and it backfiring and him getting very upset. So I love that. I love that, that they kept that continuity to it, that it would be very out of character for Donald to just go along with drawing Mickey Mouse's shape. But I'm super excited. We're planning to go to Disneyland in September, and I'm really hoping that I can get pictures with some of the DuckTales characters.
Totally.
Now Scrooge is around, and I have Disney Afternoon characters. I have a picture with Max. And that's a pretty good one, but I want to get pictures with Scrooge and Launchpad, hopefully.
Totally, that'd be awesome. Yeah. So there's a new DuckTales DVD out.
Oh.
They had previously released the pilot episode on DVD, but and with a couple other episodes, but they just released a new one called Destination Adventure, and it has. Let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 episodes. And they're actually released. They're playing in the actual production order on the DVDs, which is nice.
Interesting.
So the thing to note here is that they've changed the name of the Beagle Birthday Massacre to the Birthday Beagle Breakout. And apparently that's what it's going to be known as in all of the reruns and everything like that. Like, they wanted to take the word massacre out of there.
Good call.
Yeah.
Probably a safe bet for a kids show.
I think so. So this DVD has all the episodes up to Beware the Buddy System.
Cool.
And the nice thing about it is there's two bonus classic episodes of DuckTales that haven't been on DVD before, because they, like, the last 25 or so episodes are not on DVD. They haven't released that fourth volume yet after, I don't know, it's been like 10 years or something since
The original
of DuckTales. The original DuckTales, yeah. So the New Gizmo Kids on the Block and Ducky Mountain High, those two episodes from the last season of DuckTales, are on this new DuckTales DVD compilation.
And this is only on DVD? It's not Blu-ray?
Only on DVD.
Interesting.
Yep.
Cool.
There you go.
The thing that is interesting about this is sort of the question of whether or not they're actually going to do like season box sets. Proper season box sets, but
Disney just doesn't do that. They don't do it with any of their shows. And there recently has been a release of Gravity Falls, the complete series, but they licensed it out to Shout Entertainment, Shout Factory, which I love Shout Factory. I think they're fantastic.
My opinion, that's better than them doing it themselves.
Yeah, I agree.
Shout Factory is going to do a better job
for sure. But they just otherwise they don't do season sets. They only cater to kind of the grocery store shopping moms who just see a little, like the Walmart $5 bins or whatever, that kind of thing, and not to the collector, which is a real shame, and that's why all of these Disney Afternoon shows are only partially complete on DVD.
Yeah, and often in kind of weird orders or with weird edits.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That sort of thing, yeah. Cool. Well, do we have any other news?
I don't think so. I don't think we need to report on all the... There's so much DuckTales merch that's coming out now. It's like...
Totally.
It's exploding. There's bed sheets, and there's pajamas, and there's lunch boxes, and there's so many different types of stuffies and stuff. So
yeah, lots of really cool stuff at Disney Store now.
Yeah, I'm just going to report on the stuff that I like.
good call.
Yeah. Well, I think we can jump into the episode.
Okay. Let me start with the episode description here. The kids and Launchpad work together to capture a mystical money shark while Scrooge attempts to better his public image with a televised interview. This episode aired originally on June 16th in 2018, written by Colleen Evanson and directed by Matthew Humphreys. I thought it was a great episode. I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, me too.
This had... In the first two acts, I think the joke per minute count is the highest that the show's ever been. There was a solid 5 to 10 minutes in the middle of this episode that was just like joke, 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 joke. Like every other line was the punchline to a joke. It was so great. It was so much fun to watch. And there were just so many great sort of like puns and funny lines and just really, really great moments. This episode never really focused on any one character for too long, although it is Lena's episode, I think.
Definitely, yeah.
It gets into the mythology of her connection with Magica and sort of that coming... to sort of still setting up to get to the climax, but definitely moving that story forward in a really big way in this episode, and sort of showing us where this character stands with the rest of our heroes. So I really like the dynamic that they're using here. I like what they're doing with the character of Magica and how that connects to Lena and obviously her friendship with Webby. This show continues to astound me every episode. It's just like when I think I've got it figured out, it does something new, or when I think it can't get funnier, it gets funnier. They're just really doing such a great job, and there's so much care and attention to detail in every episode, and the writing is just phenomenal. It's so consistently good. Like, there really hasn't been a bad episode yet.
No, there hasn't.
And that's pretty impressive for a show like this, for a kids show that's focusing on adventure and a comedic show. It's very easy for it to fall flat. But at the same time, you look at what Disney's been doing with Disney Channel and Disney XD in the last 5-10 years. You brought up Gravity Falls, which is a great example. Gravity Falls was a fantastic show.
Yeah.
So well done. There's so many shows that I don't even watch them. But I know that there are people out there that just love them that are on Disney and Disney XD.
Star and Forces of Evil is another one that comes to mind. I haven't watched a single episode of that one, but people love it.
People love it. And then on the more action and a little bit older side, there was Tron Uprising, which was a really great show. Mm-hmm. And there was a show, I can't remember the name of it right now, but there was a show that was on sort of paired with Tron Uprising about these kids in the future where they drive around in cars. And
oh, yeah. What was that called? Motor City?
I think it was Motor City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That show was also great.
That one had an Invader Zim kind of, or Gorillaz, the music group Gorillaz kind of feel to it. It was cool.
Totally. Yeah, just incredible animation, really great writing. And currently, right now, Marvel's Spider-Man on Disney XD is a really, really great version of Spider-Man. It's nice. Not, it's more of the Ultimate Spider-Man sort of thing of him, you know, working with Iron Man and he, you know, like the technology side of things. It's a little bit more, kind of similar to the movie version of Spider-Man, but it's a great show. It's really well written and it's got tons of great characters in it, and yeah, so Disney's just really like knocking it out of the park lately.
Well, I like the way that they've set up this show, yeah. Because they are building, continuously building a couple of different sort of mythologies surrounding a couple of different characters, yet yeah. You can go into any one episode, including this one that is heavy on the mythology, and just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
And you don't have to know what comes before, and you don't have to know what comes after. It's still a self-contained episode, but it furthers along the bigger picture.
I'll tell you, yeah.
It's good writing.
The CW should be taking notes, because this is how they should be writing The Flash and Arrow. it's kind of how they write Legends of Tomorrow, but like those shows, which are very mythology-based and very, like, they're adult shows, obviously, but a lot of shows that are very mythology based these days, every episode it's a serialized thing where it doesn't have
rerun potential.
Yeah. But yeah, you're totally right. They really do a great job of making each episode self-contained. Everything you need to know in order to understand what's happening on screen is explained within the episode. Or there's at least context to let you know.
Yeah.
But like you said, it does further the mythology. So this idea of, because we've never really heard what went on between Magica and Scrooge. And I maybe have some theories based on who they cast as Magica. We'll talk about that in the behind the scenes.
Sure.
But it's very interesting. They're kind of implying some stuff and sort of hinting at a couple of things, and it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. But we've talked a lot around the episode. Do you want to get into our top three moments?
Sure. One of my favorite lines, you said there are so many jokes. I had a hard time picking out which jokes I really liked the best, but I think the one I like the best is... or second best, at least, is the one that came near the beginning when Scrooge and the boys are all coming back from their treasure hunting trip, and you know Dewey wants to keep some of the money, and Scrooge has this motto. He says, "All the money goes into the bin, not to the next of kin." It's like that's the value he places on the money. And you know, this was actually a good episode that just furthered Scrooge's classic character a little bit more, which we haven't really seen in this show at all. The one that actually does put a big importance on money and gets a little uptight when people are touching it and that kind of thing.
Yes.
They've been playing down this aspect until now.
A bit of that classic DuckTales. What was it? It was like Gold Madness or whatever.
Gold Fever, yeah.
Gold Fever. he gets like the sort of squirrely eyes.
Yes.
And I did really enjoy how they focused in on that part of Scrooge's character this episode. One of my favorite moments was also near the beginning, as Beakley was sort of introducing Scrooge to the idea that he would be on TV, and then coaching him. And the best part is that she had the spray bottle. So anytime he did something she didn't like, she would just hit him with the spray bottle. I love the dynamic with this new Beakley, where, obviously Scrooge is a very strong personality, but the only person who could possibly run Scrooge's household would be someone who can keep him in check as well.
But you know, the old Beakley could do that too. There were definitely episodes where she would just not put up with anything Scrooge was doing. Like,
now Mr. McDuck, and exactly. She'd give him a dress him down in front of everybody.
Portrayed so differently.
Mm-hmm. And there was that great sight gag near the beginning where everybody else is struggling with the coin and she just picks it up with one hand and they're all hanging on to it. Beakley's such a what a great update to a character. That would have been a tough one, and they really cracked that one and did a great job of making her a really fun character, even though she's not really featured that often.
She's got an episode coming up pretty soon.
Oh, does she? Nice.
Yeah. Cool.
That'll be fun. I look forward to that. What's next for you?
Okay. So I liked, my favorite joke here. Actually, I'm going to save that one for last. Okay. I really liked when they took Donald's boat and then returned it. It was like, that was such a great plot device, just using his boat to swim around in the money bin. But just the fact that they just kind of airlifted up and then they got to the money bin and placed it in the money. And at one point, Launchpad's dozing off or something like that. He's spacing out and then he gets snapped out of it. And he's like, what? Do I have to crash the boat now? Something like that. And then they return it. And it's one of those things where the next time we see Donald's boat, it'll be completely fixed. But it's just funny that
it was all
for the sake of the gag here. It's all trashed. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it. I like that it was an opportunity for them to include Donald in the episode without actually having him do anything.
Yeah. Right. In fact, that means every one of the main characters was in this episode, right?
Yes.
We haven't had that in a long time.
No, not since like very early in the series. Yeah. That's a good point. And I like the implication that Donald is often just at home, right? That he doesn't go with them on the adventures because he doesn't want to. And although he's been on a couple of them with them, but like I like that now we have an explanation that if Donald's not with them, it's because he stayed home.
Yeah. Well, and he's not even looking for a job anymore or anything. He's just mooching off of his rich uncle.
Awesome. Number two for me is I don't know which one has the tie. I'm gonna give Dudonia its own its own shout out. I loved that
was
joke
good.
The Dudonia national anthem just as they're preparing for Dewey to leap into the money bin and they sing his national anthem. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance. It's almost Olympic in their preparation. And then he goes into his corkscrew dive or whatever, and he's nailed it and all that. It's just it was just such a good. I don't know. There's almost like I don't think that they improvise too much because it's animation, so it's hard to do that. But I think the great thing about this voice cast, because so many of them are such great comedic actors and come from sketch comedy, that especially Huey, Dewey, and Louie, that those the three of them are so good at it. And I think Launchpad as well, which is why I think they kind of lumped him in with them this episode. That SNL, Second City, Groundlings pedigree that all of these actors have, they manage to make scripted content sound like it's improvised, right? And this is one of those instances where it's like it doesn't necessarily sound like it's coming off the top of their head. It sounds like this is like a gag that they've used in the past, but that like it's just very natural, right? It's very organic. It doesn't feel put on, and I think that's one of the things that makes the characters so charming.
Yeah, totally.
So it had me like laughing pretty hysterically at that when because at first I'm like Dudonia, I thought they meant like dude, and then when I realized like oh no like Dewey, like the because the end of the song is like the country for which he's named, and it's it was a good gag. That was a good one.
I want to know what the other theme songs are or national anthems for the other nephews.
For the other two.
Yeah, please let us know.
They have to like pepper those
are.
In future episodes. Yeah.
Okay, so my last one, or did you have a one that was tied for this one?
No, the next two are tied.
Oh, okay,
so I had to go to four moments because there's
too much to say. My favorite moment was when Glomgold gets brought on to the interview as a special guest to as a credible source to talk against Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
And Scrooge is like, you've tried to blow up my office twice this week. And he says, three times if you count this moment right now. And he pulls out this big button. And it doesn't work.
And the detonator doesn't work again, because that was the same detonator he tried to use in the last episode in McMystery.
Didn't even pick that up.
He tried to use a detonator in that episode as well, and it didn't work. yeah, I love that the rest of the world takes Glomgold seriously, but Scrooge is just like, What are you, you can't listen to my sworn enemy. He's not going to tell you the truth. Yeah. No, it was a good moment. Everybody knows. I love it when Glomgold shows up.
Yeah, yeah. It was great.
Yeah. My last two, which are tied for actually my favorite jokes in the episode. I'm gonna go with the Huey one first, which is when he's just reading out of the woodchuck's manual, and Dewey's like, "Would you knock it off?" And he's like, "Facts comfort me when I'm nervous." I love it because it's just another one of those great examples of the characters. Of the triplets having their own individual characters,
right?
And that Huey is just so fact and rule focused. It's everything's got to be like, I have to be able to quantify this, right? And so when he's nervous, he just relies on shark facts. So it's just it'll make me feel better. and then I think my absolute favorite moment in this episode. It's when Launchpad shows up and he's like, my best friend Dewey is in trouble. I can feel it. It's just
that they've latched on to this whole best friend thing. It's so funny.
We talked about it a couple of weeks ago in the buddy system episode. And I had mentioned like, oh, well, you can tell that like Dewey and Launchpad have this thing going, right?
Yeah. It wasn't explicitly said in that episode.
Yeah, but and then you were like, well, he's had moments with all of them. And I was like, yeah, but like it just feels like they're kind of doing something there. Yeah. And then in this episode, like they kind of confirm that like, I don't know that like, obviously Dewey doesn't consider Launchpad his best friend. I don't think. I don't know. Maybe we'll get that line in a future episode. But I love the idea that Launchpad is best friends with a child.
He has a favorite out of the triplets.
And he has his favorite out of the three of them. And they follow this joke up so well when the other two get swallowed by the money shark. And Launchpad doesn't call them by name. He goes, oh no, Dewey's brothers. it's just like Beck Bennett just, he destroys me. As Launchpad, he's so good. It just I love every moment of it. He has so many great lines in this episode. You mentioned earlier the one about the "Is it time to crash the boat now?"
Oh, man, so good.
The running gag of every time somebody gets swallowed by the shark, they're like, "Oh hey."
Yeah, well, the running gags was something that really that's what made this a joke a minute, because they kept on building and building and building on several gags throughout the episode.
This was one of the better episodes of the season so far, so of the series. I think they really nailed it with a fun adventure episode, and they still managed to keep that new tone, like with the jokes and the comedy, and then as well with the sort of almost like meta narrative stuff with Scrooge in the interview.
But not just that, it's the part where he faces the money shark and he charges right at it. Like, this is the fearless Scrooge McDuck that we also know from the comics or from the old TV show as well, that we haven't really seen in this one, willing to dive into danger head first. Because other times we've seen him kind of take the safer route or, you know, find a different way to solve the problem. But this one, he goes charging right at it. And that was cool. And we haven't even talked about Magica, really, because she was an important part in this episode, too. Just not one of our favorite moments. But we get a little bit of her Actually, you were going to talk about Magicka later on, so let's save that. Yeah.
That brings us to the behind the scenes and Easter eggs and references. Do you want to start with the Magicka one?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
So Magicka, now she's been in previous episodes, but this is definitely the most screen time that she's had.
Oh, yeah.
And so as I was watching the episode, I was like, that voice seems familiar. They've stunt cast basically everybody else. So I figured, okay, I'll look it up and I'll see who's playing Magicka. And it's actually Catherine Tate voicing the character. And Catherine Tate, for Doctor Who fans, people will remember her as one of the Doctor's companions. And let me see if I can bring up the name. Donna Noble was the companion. Right. And she was actually a companion to David Tennant's Doctor, the 10th Doctor. And obviously David Tennant plays Scrooge McDuck. And it's funny because they had a very contentious relationship in that series. Most of the time, the Doctor's companion would be a character who was very, like, in awe of him and just kind of, like, following him around on adventure. But Catherine Tate was always kind of arguing with him. They had a very, like, sort of adversarial friendship.
Yeah.
So I think that they might actually be setting something up. And there's a few moments in this episode that make me think that Magicka and Scrooge may have had a bit of a thing at some point. So I don't know. We'll see. But I feel like there's a little bit like she's mad specifically at Scrooge. Now, Magicka in the original cartoon didn't really have it out for Scrooge in as much as like she had like an axe to grind with him. She really just wanted his lucky dime because of its
mystical properties or whatever. Yeah.
Very similar to this episode, right?
Yep.
But the focus in this is like, she wants that dime, obviously, because it's part of what she needs in order to reincorporate or whatever. She's a ghost spirit sort of thing right now, and I think she wants her physical form back. And I think that she thinks the lucky dime is the key to that. And obviously, like she says towards the end of the episode, fulfilling that will grant Lena's deepest desire, which is her freedom to not be connected to Magicka anymore. But there's the catch 22 of that then Magicka is back in the flesh, and that's going to be a different kind of problem. So I think that they're definitely setting up a deeper connection between Magicka and Scrooge.
She references a centuries old blood feud. That's what she says.
Yes. And I think that it's very obvious that Scrooge is the one who's responsible for Magicka being in her current state.
But I wonder if the feud, because she says a blood feud, I wonder if her beef is actually with his descendants of the McDuck clan in general. And it goes way back, because we're going to dig into his past in some way at some point, because it's all over Webby's conspiracy board. So we know that it's going to be addressed at some point. So I think that Magicka actually has a beef with like Angus McDuck or something like that.
So
she's out to destroy Scrooge because he's the living descendant of Angus. That's my theory.
Okay, interesting. So the Scrooge hating magic,
that was interesting too.
I think like that to me was an interesting clue to the past of this character and possibly a connection to Magicka.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I just kind of like the idea with these actors and sort of the kind of irreverent way that they play with the past of Scrooge McDuck. I think it would be really funny to find out that actually the reason why Magicka is so mad at Scrooge is because they kind of had a bad fall, like a bad just breakup. Yeah, and that's why she's so bent out of shape.
Right.
I think you bring up a really good point as well, that it's a centuries old thing. But the other part of it is, I don't know, like, it's really unclear how old Scrooge is.
Very unclear.
Right? Like, yeah. Like, to the point where, like, it's so unclear that it seems a little bit like they might actually be trying to make that foggy, right? Like, sort of purposely making that unclear. So, I think that at some point we will get sort of a reveal that Scrooge has been around for a lot longer than you might think.
Yeah, and this always happens with, franchises that live on this long, because when Scrooge came out in the 50s and he was an old duck, like, it wasn't out of the realm of possibility that he actually lived in the time of the gold rush. Mm-hmm. But nowadays it's ridiculous to think that anyone was alive during the time of the gold rush. And so he's got to be very, very, very old. The same thing happened with, like, Nick Fury, who was a World War II vet. Like, nowadays, no one mentions that he was World War II because that's just ridiculous that someone lived that long. Or they gave him, like, a de-aging serum or something like that. But as these things go on, you have to be more and more vague with dates and that kind of thing. Otherwise, you have to because people are out there trying to lock in all of the timeline and people do that all the time.
The X-Men are a really great example, because whenever you tell a throwback story about the X-Men, they're in the 1960s right. And yet, like, they're 30 years old in present day.
Right. Yep. That's
so
right.
it's a funny thing. But I think that comic book storytelling is very used to that, and I think that they're kind of borrowing a little bit from that.
Yeah.
Cool. What else do we have for behind the scenes?
Okay, two little things here. So Glomgold at the very end of the episode, this one's really funny too. He shows up in a disguise and tries to take Scrooge's money that's spilling all over the floor. But his disguise was, it looked remarkably like Steven Spielberg, who is the director of Jaws, and Jaws is, of course, the name of this episode.
Nice. Yeah.
So I think that's a little in-joke. There's one point where Webby shows that she's snuck in a book of magic into Scrooge's house.
Yeah.
And it's called the Grimoire de Murloc. And Murloc, if you've watched DuckTales the movie, Murloc the Magician is the main antagonist.
Mm.
He's a very powerful sorcerer, so I would love to see Murloc show up in this show. I think that would be fantastic. In fact, make him the big bad of the next season.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be very cool.
Very, very cool.
Nice. Cool. Well,
that's it for Easter eggs and references and such.
Yeah, so let's check in with our junior woodchucks, see what they thought about this episode.
Hello, boys and girls. Today we're talking about the episode called Jaws.
And for this episode, we are gonna tell this episode to you. So, Milo, what is it about?
A big shark.
A money shark.
Anyways,
ignore Milo. Oh, yeah.
It comes from this emerald. That
you mean ruby.
Ruby. When it got dropped into the money bin. And
It turned into a giant shark
and ate Dewey.
And Louie. And Huey.
After Dewey got eaten up, Launchpad came into Webby's room and said, "My best friend's in danger. I could feel it."
When Scrooge got eaten,
everybody said, hi, Scrooge.
And then Scrooge said, hello, everyone. It was surprising that it turned into a giant shark.
It was surprising that
it grew legs?
No. Mm. It was surprising that everybody except Scrooge Webby and the other girl got eaten. Lena said to Webby, next time they're having a sleepover, Webby's going to come to Lena's house.
I don't think Lena even has a house. Okay, I'm signing out. Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
Okay, lucky dime rating. Mike, what do you rate this one?
You know what? I'm going to come right out of the gate and just say this is a 5 out of 5 for me. This is a great episode. This is one of my top episodes. I actually throw some controversy on the fire as well. I think this is a better episode than Beware the Buddy System.
Whoa.
But Beware the Buddy System is going to eke it out just because it has the Darkwing and Gizmo stuff. But if not for the fact that Darkwing Duck is at the beginning of that episode, I think this episode might beat it out. Because this was just such a great episode from start to finish, top to bottom. Some of the best jokes they've written for the series. Some of the most fun adventure I've seen yet. So
yeah,
well, it's a 5 out of 5 for me. It's right there alongside Beware the Buddy System.
Well, I am also giving this one 5.
Oof.
Yeah, it was so great.
There you go.
Yeah, not much more to say than that.
It's worth the dollar.
It's just everybody had their moment to shine. The whole cast was there, and they're, like you said, jokes off the wall, plus just an incredible monster. It was a fantastic monster.
We didn't even really talk about the animation. The animation on that shark was just so great. And the little details of things like the fin, its dorsal fin was actually like stacked coins. Just really, really cool details like that. And just the way that it was animated in such a fluid way that it was always kind of changing shape the like giant monster movie moment at the end is just they did such a fantastic job with this episode. And I think that they're really you can feel in the last few that they're really hitting their stride. They know how to write these characters now, and this episode is just a great example of that. It is just so solid.
Now, I wonder if the hiatus, one of the things that Frank and Gunna said about the hiatus was that they had to make some changes to some things and like that kind of thing. I wonder if just stepping up the quality of the animation was one of them, because there is a noticeable difference in just the way these people, these characters are moving and such in these post-hiatus episodes versus the pre-hiatus episodes.
Yeah, and I think that there's also a pretty big distinction between the earlier episodes and these newer ones with the action and the adventure. Last week's episode, or not last week, but the previous episode, McMystery, was a little bit more of that first half of the season vibe. But like Beware the Buddy System had incredible, incredible action. And then Moorshire had just crazy animation with how many different insane things they were doing and sort of all over the place.
Yeah.
And then this episode, the Money Shark was just so, so fluid and dynamic, and not really ever on model, which is a tough thing to do in sort of a production animation a scenario like a series like this. You want to generally stick towards reusing the same techniques and assets that you've had in the past.
Well, especially if it's like this vector-based animation, which apparently this show is not. I was surprised to find out Tad Stones said on our Twitter that it's all traditionally animated on a computer. It's not vectors that you move around like in Flash.
Yeah. It's computer assisted, but it's not, there isn't as much rigging as there would be in something that's a little bit more flash based. So he was saying that it is sort of like a frame by frame sort of thing. By the way, we are talking to, it blows my mind. He listened to our podcast, yes, and then shouted us out without the, we're talking about the creator of Darkwing Duck here. Stay tuned. But we're building a relationship there and hoping to have him on the podcast soon. So
hi, Ted.
I said it on Twitter and I'll say it here, 'cause we didn't say it last episode. This is a guy who's responsible for one of the most formative characters of my childhood. And he's like, hey, good job on the podcast. And it's like,
yep,
hold up. Did that just happen? Did that? Yeah, it's very, very close to like one of the creators of the Ninja Turtles, or like, I don't know, George Lucas saying like, heard the podcast, like what you're doing. Right. Like it's a very, very cool thing. So I'm looking forward to chatting with him more, mm-hmm, in the future. Talk about some Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that stuff. That's sort of keep everybody on the hook a little bit. You can't unsubscribe now, 'cause that's in the pipeline. awesome. Episode rankings. Where are we sitting at? 'Cause I like, before you get into that, Jaws is gonna come in here and upset some of this stuff, I think.
This week there was an upset. Okay. And I'll tell you why. Beware the Buddy System cleaned house with 70% of the votes.
Yeah.
Spear of Celine and McMystery at McDuck McManor tied at 11%. Last place was House of the Lucky Gander after being on the charts for 11 rounds.
11 episodes.
It's out now. It's out.
Wow.
And now we're putting in Jaws, so we only have post-hiatus episodes in the top episodes now.
Interesting. And what a man. That is so... I love this ranking system. We talked about this on the last episode. Because it's not a rating system. It is literally like, what is your favorite?
Yeah.
Right? And... 70 of the votes, like you said, for Beware the Buddy System, which is an overwhelming majority.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
But then Spear of Celine and McMystery at McDuck Manor coming in at 11 each, and like barely eking out
House
of the Lucky Gander at eight. Like that's 3 votes away. So if 3 more people had voted, we would have had a 3-way tie, right? But, and in which case, House of the Lucky Gander would have stuck around because it's been at the top of the charts.
Right.
Right. So it's just, I love the way that this works because it's sort of that Any Given Sunday kind of a system where it's like, well, it all depends on who shows up to play the game. Right.
Right.
It all depends on who's going to vote. And if you don't show up to vote for your favorite, it might get knocked out. And that's, I think, exactly what happened with House of the Lucky Gander. But I think that also, there's an interesting dynamic where as some of these episodes go on, people change their minds. They move over and they migrate and go, well, you know what? Actually, Beware the Buddy System is actually a really great episode. Maybe they've caught it again in reruns or just watched it for fun, or they've just been watching the Darkwing Duck clip over and over, and they're like, you know what? that one deserves my vote this week. So it's going to be very interesting to see where Jaws lands in this, because I think it's going to be in the number 2 spot. I think it's going to have a hard time beating out Beware the Buddy System.
Yeah.
But I do think it's going to take a significant chunk out of that 70. I think it's going to be healthy. I think it's going to have a healthy number. The other part of this that's really interesting is that as the weeks go on, there's more and more people voting. And that's awesome. That's exactly what we want to see. So when you guys out there following us on Twitter at Toon Afternoon, when you see this tweet, do us a favor, retweet it. Don't just vote, right? Vote, like it, retweet it. And when you retweet it, that way, like, tons of people see it, and we get more votes in there, and we can get an even better ranking.
Can you imagine all of those people who love McMystery at McDuck McManor who are not voting right now, and all of a sudden all of them start voting because you're retweeting the tweet, and it upsets everything. It could happen. It could happen.
This is my favorite part of this podcast. It is 100%. Like,
good.
Yeah, by the end of the season, we're going to have four episodes, and it's going to be like, well, these are the four best episodes, or they're the four...
The four most popular episodes,
they're just the four champions, right?
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I love it.
It's cool. Great.
Well, let's... we just talked about Jaws, but we've got two more episodes coming up pretty soon. I'm really excited about this next one.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one.
Why don't you go ahead and read the descriptions?
The Golden Lagoon of White Agony Plains. Scrooge reteams with his conniving ex-partner and old flame, Goldiel Glit, to find a long-lost Golden Lagoon. But Glomgold, of course, has other plans. Featuring Academy Award winner Allison Janney from the show Mom as Goldiel Glit.
Awesome. I'm really excited for Goldie to show up. I've said it before on the podcast. The Klondike storyline is one of my favorite stories from the original DuckTales cartoon.
Even though it's not very action heavy.
No.
It's just a great character one.
It's actually very romance heavy.
Right.
And
I wonder what direction they're going to go with this one.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for this one because I think this one's going to focus a lot on Scrooge. And it sounds like it's going to have some good Glomgold comedy in it. So,
yeah.
Lots to look forward to there. But that does it for this episode, right?
It does.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. And we will catch you on the next one.
And we'll see you next afternoon.
Don't forget you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ToonAfternoon, as well as on Twitter at ToonAfternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at ToonAfternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KURTISFINDLAY.
And I'm on Twitter at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are a part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack and pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.